We open our Bibles again this morning in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, the ninth chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'd like to follow the reading just in the Word of God in the ninth chapter of the book of Isaiah. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness shall have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joyed before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. And God will bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, and we gather round Thy precious Word, and we ask Thee, Lord, speak to us. We thank Thee that we can come to Thy house to gather round Thy Word and ask Thee, O God, just to open Thy Word to our hearts, and Lord, we pray that You'll do that even now. Cover this time, this special time of study and exposition of Thy Word, cover it in the blood of Jesus. We pray that we might know a deep sense of Thy presence. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to us. And O God, speak through me, that Christ might be seen and glorified. I ask this believing in Jesus' name, the power of that name, and for His glory alone. Last Lord's Day morning we gathered in God's house, and we were looking at this passage of God's Word here in Isaiah chapter 9. We simply give the introduction to this ninth chapter, and we were looking at verses 6 and 7. And I want us to consider these words afresh this morning, and let us just see what the Spirit of God would say to us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And as we were looking at this passage of God's Word, we just looked last Lord's Day at the opening words, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. We were looking at the peculiarity of Christ. We noticed that the child was born, and there we see the emphasis upon the humanity of Christ. This humanity had a beginning, for the child was born. And then we look at the words, the Son is given. But you see, the Son was before He was given. He already existed as the Son because the Son was given. He was Son, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. And there we see the emphasis upon the deity of Christ. The Ancient of Days, we noted, became the infant laid in that manger so long ago. And as we were thinking about it, we said, what condescension. And yet whenever the announcement was made in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we find that indeed, whenever the angel of the Lord said that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You notice the preface of what the angel said in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I was up at the hospital yesterday morning. We were doing the hospital. Really, I wasn't in the hospital because I didn't want to give everybody the cold or the flu. But I was up at the hospital radio, which I've been doing since about 1977, practically when it began, every Christmas morning. I do a program on Mid-Ulster Hospital Radio. And when I was up there, I was told there was a child born and there were two others that were expected to be born on Christmas Day. And you can understand the thrill and the joy whenever a child is born, especially on Christmas Day. And here we find indeed the announcement of this child being born. The angel of the Lord said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. It was indeed a day of joy. It was a day of delight. What joy that birth has given to man. It says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, you'll have the good tidings and the joy which shall be to others, to all people. You see, the birth of Christ, it brought the joy. It brought the joy of salvation. When a gift is given, it brings a joy. But there was no gift like the gift of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The grace in the gift. Because you'll notice it says, unto us, or unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, the joy of that gift. We've looked at the peculiarity of Christ, but now what I want to deal with especially this morning is about the preeminence of Christ. And that's why I stay in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Because in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in the verse number 6, we have these names of the Lord Jesus Christ, which show us the preeminence of Christ. And that is, I want to look at this morning, the preeminence of Christ in this 6th chapter, or 6th verse of chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah. It says this, His name shall be called. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Here's the name. The name. Now, of course, I said, and the Prince of Peace, and that and's not actually there. Because the name, not the names, but His name shall be called. You say, well, what are the names? Whenever I'm dedicating a child, I give the names. And I say, well, what are the names? And the names, here it says, and the name of the child, it says, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here we see the preeminence of Christ. The names that follow identify the superiority of Christ, this child that was born, this son that was given. Notice the first one there. It says, His name shall be called Wonderful. We sing the wee chorus, don't we? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? Yes, indeed, His name shall be called Wonderful. To every child of God, thank God, Christ is wonderful. I'm not going into it this morning, but let me tell you, He's wonderful in His person. Just think of who He is. I'm a little Christmas carol. Who is He? in yonder stall at his feet the shepherds fall. 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him. Crown him, Lord of all. He's wonderful in his person. Here's a wee study for you. I'll give you just the bones. I'll give you the outline. Because I want to go through these names. And we wouldn't have time to go through every single one of these. Listen, he's wonderful in his person. Who he is. And then he's wonderful in his passion. That's what he did. You think of the passion of Christ. The one who set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. The one who went to Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood. The one who said, "Lo, I come, and the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God." And we think of the wonder of the passion of Christ. Oh, the world tried to put it in a film. And friend, they try to mock the Son of God. But let me tell you, this book has caught the wonderful passion of the Son of God for you and for me. For he is wonderful in his passion. That's the cross. That's Calvary. That's the place where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died that you and I might live. He shed his precious blood that our sins might be blotted out, never to be remembered against us anymore. He's wonderful in his person. He's wonderful in his passion. Listen, he's wonderful in his promises. Oh, think of what he has said. Think of the promises he has made. You know what he said to his disciples before he went to heaven? He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." Isn't he a faithful God? Listen. Having loved his own, John chapter 3, he loved them unto the end. His love stays true. And praise God, his promises. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." For praise God, he said, "even unto the end." He's faithful in his person, his passion, his promises, his providences. Think of the providential working of God in your life, friend. Think of the providential working of God in your life through Jesus Christ. You sometimes you look back and we think in our lives, you know, why did that happen to me? Why did the Lord let that happen to me? And friend, looking back over our life, do we not see the providential working of God? We also sing the hymn, "I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." And he's promised us, here's the providential working of God. Listen to it. In Romans chapter 8, "All things work together for good." That's the providential working of our blessed Lord. Isn't he wonderful in his providence, in his providential working? I look back over my life and I see the providence and the providential working of God, and I say, "Oh God, aren't you mighty? Lord Jesus, aren't you wonderful? Aren't you wonderful? And how that thy hand has been upon us, and graciously leading and guiding, and Lord, even whenever we thought that it seemed to be the wrong way," it says this, "he led them the right way." Might be the long way, but it's the right way. You just trust him, friend, in the providential working of the Lord. He's wonderful. I'll just add one more. He's wonderful in his power. He's wonderful in his power. Well, I tell you, you budding preachers, you could preach that, couldn't you?
You really could preach that, listen. He is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. You could say, Lord Jesus, you are wonderful. You're wonderful in your person. There never was a person like you. There never will be. Lord Jesus, you stand out on your own. Others come with their leaders, but there'll never be one like Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful Jesus. But then notice, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Counselor. In actual fact, let me tell you something. In the original, you see that after wonderful, there is no comma. In actual fact, it is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. And one of the ministries of Christ, friend, is that of counseling. You say, well, how can that be, preacher? Let me tell you something. He came to reveal his Father's will. He came to reveal. He said this, I delight to, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. But friend, he not only came to do his Father's will, he came to reveal his Father's will. Oh, the wonderful counselor he is. The excellence of Christ's counseling. Because not one word that he counsels his child, not one word shall fail. Not one word. There's a wee verse over there. In Proverbs, keep your hand there in Isaiah chapter 9, the verse in Proverbs chapter 11. And in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says this, where no counsel is, the people fall. Where no people is, or where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, if there is no correct counsel, if a person doesn't have counsel, you see, some people think they know the answers to everything. Let me tell you, there's not one of us do. We don't have the answers, friend. We need help. We need counsel. We need guidance. Everyone in this, the Lord's house this morning, every one of us in every aspect of life, we need counsel, we need guidance. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. In other words, if there's no good counsel, if there's no counsel that is given, we make a mess of it. We just make a mess of it. So often people just reject counsel. You couldn't tell them anything, friend. Just I don't need to be counseled. I don't need to be told anything. I just know it. I just know it. Listen, there's no good counsel if we don't get counsel, friend, and we don't seek guidance, and if we're not willing to take guidance, then we'll just make a mess of it. We'll just make a mess of it. But you know, it has to be correct counsel. It has to be good counsel. Because remember, Eve took counsel. But it was wrong. Do you remember that? In Genesis chapter 3, didn't she get counsel? It says in Genesis chapter 3, concerning Eve, that the devil said unto her, the serpent said unto, it was more subtle, and he said unto the woman, Genesis 3:1, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto her, or unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and give unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Yes, she got counsel. but it wasn't good counsel. Oh, what a mess. What a mess she brought to humanity, because here we see that the evil results of evil counsel still last today. Be very careful the counsel you take, friend. Be very careful. Because when you go through the scriptures, if you, for example, go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 9. And in Joshua chapter 9, and turn to verse number 14 of that, we find here, it says in verse, well, let me read it to you. And the men took off their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And the story is there that Joshua and the elders of Israel, they didn't ask the counsel of the Lord whenever the Gibeonites disguised themselves and they entered into a treaty with them that they ought not to have entered into. But they couldn't go back because they entered into it. Because they thought they didn't need counsel. It all sounded good to them. But they didn't ask counsel of the Lord. They didn't say, Lord, would you guide us here? Lord, would you show us what we ought to do? Lord, would you give us guidance? Would you guide our lives? Should we enter into this covenant with these Gibeonites or not? These men who actually came to deceive them. These were deceivers. But they didn't ask of God. They didn't seek counsel. That's with the word of God. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Then if you turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, Chronicles. And 1 Chronicles chapter 10. You read the story of Saul. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, in verse number 13, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David the son of Jesse. You see, he asked counsel, but he asked the wrong people. He asked the one with a familiar spirit. He asked one that was devil-possessed. Instead of asking counsel of God, friend, he went to the world. He went to the world. And is it not true today that so often even God's people, whenever it comes to issues, they go to the world to get the counsel? Is it not true that so often when we come to issues, even on moral issues, we look to see what the world has got to say? What is called politically correct as far as the world is concerned? What does the world say about this? And friend, many of God's people are doing things today and they're walking certain ways today simply because it's a standard of the world. And they're not accepting the counsel of the Lord. Listen, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And so he is. And what a mess Saul made of it, friend. Listen, he died because of it. He died because of it. Not only a mess in his life. Joshua made a mess because he made a covenant with the Gibeonites because he didn't ask of God. He felt he could do it without counsel. He didn't need guidance. He didn't need counsel. He had all the answers himself. Saul, he asked counsel, but he asked counsel of the wrong person. And yet we have a wonderful counselor. We have a wonderful counselor. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let me just show you how wonderful our counselor is. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 1. And this is why I say, listen, why don't you seek the counsel of the Lord, friend? Look at verse number 24. Unto them which are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God. Christ the wisdom of God. Always a wonderful counselor. Christ the wisdom of God. Then look at verse number 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Not a bit of wonder didn't they say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, never man speak like this man. Never man speak. In Matthew 7:29 it says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why don't you ask your Lord for his guidance? As we finish this old year, friend, this last Lord's Day of 2004, friend, you don't know what the journey holds. You don't know what the journey holds for the rest. Maybe there are decisions that you have to make in your life. Why don't you ask counsel of the wisdom of God? Maybe there are questions you have in your life. Maybe in your home. And you wonder which way to turn, and you wonder what to do. Friend, listen, why don't you ask? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You have a counselor. And he's available. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. You can talk to him in the night hours when everyone else around you is sleeping. When did you ask him? For he's the wisdom of God, wonderful counselor. And then very quickly, time's nearly away, friend. Listen, going back to Isaiah chapter 9, his name shall be called Mighty God. Mighty God. Yes, what a name. What a name for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Mighty God. The Mighty God. I always think of a sister all the time whenever I used to, whenever you talked about the Lord Jesus, you would say, my, isn't he mighty? Isn't he mighty? And when you talked about his salvation, that Jesus Christ, she always says, isn't it mighty salvation? And she was always rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. That's mighty. She says, it's mighty. Being in the family of God, being saved. Mighty. We have a mighty Savior. So we have him. His name is the Mighty God. Oh, what a powerful God we have. What a powerful Jesus. So powerful and so great is his power, friend, he called this world into being. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us about creation by faith. By faith, it says, or through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In the book of Colossians, that little book of Colossians that perhaps so many people pass over, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, if you go to verse 17, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
And go back to verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Isn't He the mighty God? All things were created by Him, all things were created for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I remember whenever that old papal antichrist came to the Irish Republic, they sang, "He's got the whole world in His hands." Let me tell you, it's a lie. There is one who has the whole world in His hands, let me tell you, and it's not the papal antichrist. It's the Christ Himself. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says this, He is before Him all things, and by Him all things consist. He holds this world on its axis this morning. Everything consists by Him, for He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning and firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have a preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. What a mighty, mighty God. He can do all things today. He's the mighty God. He is the mighty God. Do you remember whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was faced in Mark's Gospel chapter 1 with the challenge in verse number 40, where the man said to Him, the leper said, "If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." Notice what He did say. He said, "Lord, if You will, if You will." Let me say this to you. If Christ had not healed him that day, listen to me now. If Christ had not healed that leper that day, it was not because He could not. It was because He willed not. That's why the leper said, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." You see, the leper acknowledged that it wasn't impossible for him to be clean. It wasn't impossible for him to be cleansed. Yes, Christ had the power. It was not a matter of His power. It was a matter of His will. He said, "If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And if Christ had not healed him, it wasn't because He was weak, but rather His will. And sometimes people doubt the power of God. Friend, let me tell you, when we ask Him, we must bow in submission to His will. It's not that He can't. He says, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst. Yes, You can. If You will, if it's Your will to do it, You can do it. I've no doubt. Why? Because Thou art the mighty God. There is nothing impossible for Thee. Is there anything too hard for God? Hallelujah. He's the mighty God. All the wise men, when they came to Jesus, it says they bowed down and they worshipped. Because they were bowing down before the mighty God. The mighty God. The everlasting Father.
It means the Father of eternity. It means the Father of the ages. You see, he couldn't be the Father of eternity and not possess eternal life. And that's why whenever he gives his gift to us, his children, the gift of God is eternal life, because he is the Father of eternity. He is the Father of the ages. He is the everlasting Father. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he is the same forever. He is the great I am. Always existent, the present tense, the great I am. Now you see the title there, the Everlasting Father, just before we move on quickly. The title Father, it's not used in reference to Christ's relationship to the Godhead, but it is used in Christ's relationship to us. To us. He's the head. We read in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. And thank God he gives to you and me his fatherly care. As the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. He's the source of peace. He's the champion of peace. What did the shepherd say? What did they hear? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There is no true peace on earth, friend, without Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. We live in a world where there's so much turmoil. We live in a world with so much disaster, but let me tell you, my friend, it's only where Jesus is that there's peace. I walk into homes where calamity has struck and people cannot understand why. And yet the only place where they find peace is when they come to the cross by faith. When they come to Jesus. I have a peace in my heart that the world never gave. I have a peace that has come here to stay. Jesus has the first place, and I'm saved by his grace. Oh, I could not live without him. Peace on earth, because he is the Prince. I want you to do the final one and study at home. It is not only the peculiarity of Christ. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. Not only the preeminence of Christ, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But then think. Verse 7, the power of Christ. Because you'll notice here, the prophecy doesn't stop at the cradle. It goes right to the crown. You see, the first advent had the cradle and the cross in view. The second advent focuses on the conquest and the crown. And what does verse 7 say? Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Christ's rule, thank God, in this verse, it's a certainty here. There shall be no end. It's an absolute certainty. You see, when God says it, friend, and when God says, of his government and peace there shall be no end, it's as good as done. Scoffers may laugh. Scoffers may ridicule. Where is the hope of his coming? Let me tell you, friend, he is coming again. The same Jesus is coming again. There's a certainty here. And praise God, there's a comfort here. Oh, what a comfort. Because it speaks of the prosperity of the rule of Christ. Because the length of his government shall increase. His rule will spread over all the earth. Notice it says, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Oh, the power of Christ. Our Lord reigns. Jesus is coming again, friend. We celebrate his birth, his first coming. But thank God we look for his second coming. And we say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for his call? Out of the depths of your soul, are you earnestly saying, even so come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. For I'm ready. If not, in God's name, please, I beg you, get ready today. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for his preeminence. In all things he shall have the preeminence. We thank thee the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of his government and his peace there shall be no end. We thank you that you're coming again. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we thank you that you're coming for your redeemed. Please, Father, grant we'll all be there on that day. Not one of the family will be missing. Close us all in with Jesus. Ask it in his name.